that hymn gives us, really sets the tone well for the next part of the scripture passage. Jeremiah is writing from jail. He is imprisoned. He's kind of under military house arrest. And the people of God have gotten all the bad news they're going to get from Jeremiah. They are in exile. They are captives as well. And so this now is the tone of promise that comes. Thus says the Lord, in this place of which you say, it is a waste without human beings or animals. In the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate without inhabitants, human or animal, there shall once more be heard the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who sing as they bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as at first, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in this place that is waste, without human beings or animals, and in all its towns there shall again be pasture for shepherds resting their flocks. In the towns of the hill country, of the Shephelah and of the Negev, and in the land of Benjamin, the places around Jerusalem, and in the towns of Judah, flocks shall again pass under the hands of the one who counts them, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, and the Levitical priests shall never lack a man in my presence to offer burnt offerings, to make grain offerings, and to make sacrifices for all time. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, thus says the Lord, if any of you could break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night would not come at their appointed time, only then could my covenant with my servant David be broken, so that he would not have a son to reign on his throne, and my covenants with my ministers, the Levites, just as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, and the sands of the sea cannot be measured, so I will increase the offspring of my servant David and the Levites who minister to me. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A couple weeks ago, we read from Hosea. And Hosea has that weird thing that Jeremiah has, where you're going to get the stick and then you're going to get the carrot. Well, we're at the carrot here. And before we get too much into the text, a little bit of a reminder about Advent. Advent is that precursor to the Christmas season, not the day of Christmas, the Christmas season, that Lent is to Easter. And once upon a time in the church, those carried the same kind of flavor. Now, an Advent like a Lent seems kind of an odd thing to us, but it would have been an appropriate liturgical way for me to greet you. Penitential Advent, you miserable sinners. I don't think it quite carries the same weight today that it once did, but it is this sense of preparation, of getting ready, because something is going to happen that is going to change the world. In Lent, we are preparing for the death, which is an inconceivable thought, of the Christ, and the resurrection, which, how do you even think about the resurrection if the Messiah can't die? And in Advent, we are preparing for the birth of a child who will change everything. And that is really what Jeremiah is talking about today. Jeremiah is looking forward, this long arc. You can hear Luke's gospel in it. Hey guys, there's going to be shepherds in Bethlehem again. Huh, well, there better be. We won't know what to do if there's no shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night, will we? The piece that is fascinating to me here in Jeremiah is that it translates so well to the 21st century. Jeremiah, the promise that comes through Jeremiah is, look at how bad it is now, and I'm going to make it alive again. All those things that you see are dead and wasted and withered and no more are going to be flourishing again. So, if Jeremiah was in Marion, Illinois in 2019, he might say, and there's going to be manufacturing jobs in Southern Illinois. And there's going to be businesses on the square. Right? I mean, this is the kind of prophetic language. There's going to be people in the streets. There's going to be children. There's going to be marriages, brides and bridegrooms. There's going to be laughter. There's going to be celebration. This is what he's talking about, and it's language that has value for us today. Because whether we look at it as a community, as the body of Christ, or as individuals, most of us have something that feels dead and withered that we wish could be restored to life. But quite frankly, it's going to take an act of God. So we sat at Thanksgiving tables this last week, and some of us sat with family we don't particularly like. And some of us sat at tables with empty seats because the people we really liked aren't there anymore. And we sat there with an abundance of things most of the time, perhaps too much. And memories crammed into every recipe and every place setting and things like that. That is kind of the Jeremiah vision of the Norman Rockwell Thanksgiving. Now, Rockwell painted over some of our failings. He airbrushed us pretty well as a society. But that doesn't mean we as the people of God should not be thinking about what it could look like for us and for our communities when the child comes back and things change dramatically. And that's really the piece of the first Sunday of Advent, of hope. Hope. That's what Jeremiah is giving the people. That's what God is giving the people through Jeremiah. It's what we get, is the sense that this thing, never driving on I-57 because it's a death trap, will be done. No longer will I-57 be a desolate wasteland of overturned tractor trailers and orange construction barrels. It shall be 4 lanes wide, and it shall be smoothly paved, and there shall not be a speed trap anywhere on it. Thus says the Lord. Now you got to get a little 21st century very specific on us, right? How does that change things? How do we get less grumpy because now we're not behind somebody doing 75 in the construction zone who slams on their brakes behind the person doing 35 in the construction zone? Yeah, exactly. Hope is not vague. When we come down to hope, we each have very specific, very precise hopes. We don't always know how it's going to work out. But we do have a specific thing we're usually praying for, and frankly, we know exactly how God should do this thing. And so we pray. We pray with families that have folks who are being deployed, and the hope is that they return home healthy and whole in body, mind, and spirit. We pray with families that disperse to the winds after holidays and the family reunions that we call weddings and funerals, that one day there will be more to gather around. We hope for a lot of things, and we hope with a precision that just the word hope doesn't cover. When David announced his prayer celebration a couple weeks ago of 9 years seizure-free, there's a piece of hope attached right to that, that, and let's keep this going, Lord. And that's a very specific prayer for Dave to remain seizure-free. We hope in definite terms. And Jeremiah is a great example of that. In a community that is withered and dying, where there are no flocks, where the streets are falling apart, where the buildings are falling down, where you don't hear the sound of a wedding party anymore. What's hope look like? Jeremiah has a very specific answer. There's going to be kids, and they're going to be loud, and they're going to be tearing up the place, and you're going to like it. And there's going to be wedding parties, and you're not even going to file noise complaints because they're partying after 11 p.m. And the fields are going to turn green, and there's going to be animals, and there's going to be people keeping those animals. The economy is going to come back. And all the time that Jeremiah is promising these very, very concrete things, he's layering the language that we use to talk about Jesus Christ. He's layering that there will not be a sheep in those fields that does not know the hand of the one who cares for it. Jeremiah, it's almost like you know something's going to happen. Who'd have thought? He's just a prophet. So for us, this Advent season, I would encourage us to be specific about our hopes as well. For our town, for our nation, for the communities in which we live and serve and have family, for the people we work with side by side, for the people we care about, we have specific hopes. The thing I'd really ask you about is how are our specific hopes layered with the language in which we talk about Jesus Christ? We're going to end up praying a lot for jobs, right? And for community revitalization, and for health, and for families to come back together. We're going to pray a lot for medical care and the ability to pay for medical care. We're going to pray a lot for our neighbors, that our communities become more whole as communities. All of those things we can talk about in the language of Jesus Christ. So we are going to pray for new life that comes in the form of new jobs and restored relationships and new communities and stronger families. We're going to pray for new life that comes in the turning away from the things that do not give life. that, frankly, most of us have at least one or two of those things we need to be dropping. January 1st, you'll have a list. January 3rd, you'll have given up. The language of Jesus Christ is prophetic, powerful hope that is grounded in a change we can see and recognize. So as we go towards that night when we talk with glee and joy about shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night, know that the fact that there are even shepherds in the fields is a sign of God's promises coming true. Be on the lookout for the sheep and the shepherds in our neighborhood that are a sign of God's promises coming true. And to God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.